This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 214 for the week ending Saturday, March 8th, 2014. Good morning. I'm Captain Jeff here in the lovely hamlet of Roswell, Georgia, and with me today in Conyers, Georgia, the lovely Maria Johnson.
Good morning. Hello. These
words I can't say. Okay, and ooh, that's loud. Joining us from Tulsa, Oklahoma, the handsome Steve Nelson.
Hello, everybody. Or howdy, or good day.
Don't say howdy. Because we have...
We use that.
No. Only people from the heart of Texas can say that.
Howdy, y'all.
The lovely, adorable Angela Seelan.
Howdy, Angela.
Hey, if Jeff lives in the hamlet of Georgia, then I live in the Romeo and Juliet of Texas.
Oh. Okay, that deserves this right here. We'll just start off.
You get it?
Yes. Within the first minute, I think we got it. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Catholic Weekend. And as I mentioned, Saturday, March 8th, which means that this year in 2014 that we are on day 1, 2, 3, 4 of Lent. Is that right? It started Wednesday night. So we're going to talk about Lenten stuff on this episode.
Doesn't the Bible say neither a borrower nor a lender be? Oh, I'm sorry. Not the right kind of Lent.
That's not lending.
Okay. I'm going to mute myself now.
Well, at least you didn't make the belly button Lent joke.
Oh.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us today. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Off to a great start.
A rousing start.
Yeah.
Sarah couldn't join us today, so sorry you're not here, Sarah. And somebody's still snoring over here. There we go. I'm sorry. And Lynn is not able to join us live in the chat room, but we have in her place today the very capable mayor of SQPN, Mike Kuypers. Thank you, Mike, for doing the show notes duties today. And thank you, all two or three of you in the chat room.
the biggest audience we've had in months.
That's probably Father Daryl and his dog. That would be the other two people in the room.
Do they count as two?
Yeah, they count for two.
Yay.
Yay.
Hey. We're very edified.
Okay. So let's jump into it. Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, day of abstinence and fasting, and the application of ashes on said foreheads. And let's... first of all, kind of straighten something out. We talked about last week the hashtag, and that was attributed at that time to Matt Swaim. But we found out that since then, the actual person who invented that tag was John Clem. So thank you, John, for...
Actually, no.
No? Did I mess that up too?
So wrong. Not John Clem. It was Dom Bettinelli.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Let's start all over. Here we go.
You're such a joker. This is not April Fool's yet.
You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 214.
Howdy, y'all.
Hey.
We'll do everything at once.
Hey, last time on our show, we talked about the hashtag, and we inappropriately appropriated that to Matt Swaim. But And then we attributed to John Clem. But I just received a bulletin, and this is breaking news. It was actually Dom Bettinelli. Yay, Dom. Here we go. All right.
The drama.
We need to be careful with any facts that happen to come across on this show.
I'm not very good with facts.
Listen, as long as we keep the Catholicism straight, I think everything else is in the train wreck.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
That was for me.
So you were saying.
It's all good.
I don't know. Somebody else start talking because I'm just digging a bigger and bigger hole. So the hashtag, tell us about the hashtag, Maria. What is that all about?
So the hashtag thing. People were just encouraged to go take a picture, to take a selfie after Mass to show their ashes. Actually, I think Busted Halo, the guys at Busted Halo, were having a contest. I don't think, well, it wasn't a contest that there was a winner for, I don't think, but they were just giving a place for people to repost their hashtag selfies on that day. You know, for those of you who don't know, on Twitter, the hashtag, the little, what's it called?
Ampersand.
It's the number sign, the pound number, sign, the whatever. The
pound sign.
The pound sign, that's right. We know this from our phones, right? So the pound sign with a word next to it lets you search on Twitter for that topic. Mm-hmm. Some people use it the ironic hashtag, you know, like Ashley and his hashtag jokes. But if you search the hashtag. Hashtag.
Be careful.
Careful now.
I've heard that if you say that too many times.
Yeah.
There's a word I want to use instead
Steve,
of hashtag.
Steve, it's time for Steve to interject here.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, my pastor had a bit of a problem during Ash Wednesday services because he had his mic on while he was distributing ashes, you know, and if you say that word over and over again, you might have a few problems with your pronunciation, and he did.
nice ashes. So
finally, his deacon had to lean over and said, maybe you should turn your mic off.
Somehow the H was being left off, perhaps?
Yeah. I mean, it's like any word that you try to repeat, you know, multiple times. You can stumble over it, as we heard that Pope Francis had a faux pas in Rome, where he fumbled over an Italian word and said a word that was basically the F-bomb. Yeah. So
what are you talking about? Yeah, that was big in the news. The media liked to jump on that one.
Whatever.
Yeah, poor guy. I guess it was actually in Italian that he was speaking, not English.
Yeah, he was in Italian.
Yeah. So
it wasn't even the F-bomb, but it was the Italian equivalent.
So it was a much to do about nothing, right?
Oh, but you know, must have been a slow news day. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I don't know. Anything with Pope Francis is up for grabs.
Hot news.
I was flying all day Wednesday. I was trying to be Captain Joe. I don't know how you do it. That was the biggest pain in the butt ever. That was truly a day of penance for me.
It's
no
tiring.
Kidding.
It really is.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, I was on a plane, and and the woman next to me, after a long, strange conversation that maybe I'll talk about later in the show, but you know, specifically to what we're talking about now, she says to me, "And how do you feel about Pope Francis?" And I'm like, "Well, that was totally out of the blue."
Did she know you were Catholic?
Yeah. I was reading something that she had been trying to read over my shoulder. You ever been on a plane and people are looking at what you're doing?
Man.
Oh, how annoying is that? It's bad enough that they're practically in your lap anymore, that they're looking over your shoulder to see what you're reading.
It's hard not to. It's hard not to look at – I mean, you can be obvious about it, but when the guy in the row ahead of you is working on his laptop and you don't have anywhere else to look, but it had
his screen. Well, the row ahead of you.
Ahead of you, what are you doing? Leaning across the aisle? Looking
through that crack in the seats.
Looking through the crack.
I'm just down here reaching for something underneath the seat.
let me take a look at your spreadsheet where all of your bank statements are. Hold on.
And then they put their seat back and bam, oh.
Bam, whoops.
Hey, you're in public. Act, you know, it's fair game.
True.
Fair game.
Yeah, that's right. You have to be careful about what you're looking at in public, right? So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
Well, there
so
we go.
So what about this whole hashtag thing? What do you think about that? I have mixed feelings because I think it's a great way to evangelize and it's a great way to have community, you know? I think maybe there would be some people who wouldn't keep their ashes on during the day because they might be embarrassed, but if they feel a sense of community with other people that are out there, you know, being public about it, maybe that helps them. What do you think?
I think it's important to be representatives of our faith out there with the sign of the cross and ashes on our foreheads. But I guess what you're saying is that it can be taken too far, and some people may think that the whole, you know, selfies and everything else would be stepping over that boundary. I don't know. What do you think, Angela?
We were talking before the show, and we mentioned Elizabeth Scalia yesterday. She posted about this, and on her blog, there's a blog entry called "The Weirdly Hashtag Look at Me Lent of 2014," and so she talks about this whole phenomenon, and basically the balance is okay. Are you taking a selfie just to say, hey, look at me, guys, I got ashes? Which, honestly, I do think some people did do. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very, very easy to fall into that trap. I think you honestly have to be very intentional about evangelizing if that's what you're trying to do. Because we... In the readings, you know, Jesus talked about on Ash Wednesday about in the Gospel of Matthew, he says to not be like the hypocrites.
Sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by men.
Right. And then on another day.
Was that the voice of God? Where did that voice come from?
Thus, when you give alms, sound no trumpet before you.
Well, he said, you know, the hypocrites look gloomy and they neglect their appearance so that they will appear to others to be fasting, you know. And he says, you shouldn't do that. When you fast, you should wash your face, you know, anoint your head is what he says. But basically, it's like the whole idea is there, like fasting is supposed to be something that helps us to, like, give up something so that we realize our weakness and our frailty and that we depend on God. am I making sense? Like, you know,
So I think
it's very, when you get into this whole selfie like mentality, it can kind of turn into the opposite of that, where it's like, oh, look at me, I'm awesome, you know, like I have ashes and I'm a Catholic and I practice my faith, you know, like, I don't know. I didn't put a selfie because I know myself and I know that I would be a lot more tempted to lean in that direction versus in the probably more positive, you know, evangelization direction. Even though I work in evangelization, I just know myself and I know that, you know, honestly, if I posted a selfie with my ashes, it would probably lean towards the, hey, look at me, I'm awesome, and I'm so holy and stuff.
But isn't part of the new evangelization using social media to leverage, leveraging social media to kind of put our message out there? And I don't know if I really feel like, you know, doing the selfies with the ashes is a negative thing. Now, I think that if you took selfies with you with your hair all matted up and you're looking like you're about to eat your hand because you've been fasting, well, that's obviously over the line.
Maybe it's just like everything else, it comes down to intent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what Father James Martin said. He says that only you really know your heart and God and what your purpose is in posting you know, and posting those selfies.
Let me ask you something
but
serious.
It really is a weird thing, this whole selfie thing.
Getting and shifting away from the selfie and into something else that, because what we're talking about here is maybe appearances. And I sometimes struggle when I'm at Mass and I know that I'm not worthy to go to the table to accept the Eucharist, but it's really, really strong, that urge, that temptation to say, I'm going to do it anyway because I don't want anybody to look at me and go, well, why is he not going to communion? Why is he not taking the Eucharist? I mean, do you think that happens a lot in Mass every Sunday?
I never pay attention to who goes to communion and who doesn't. It yeah. never crosses my mind to look to see who's what other people are doing.
Right.
But I don't know. I can't speak for other people, you know.
Yeah, I think for me, it you know, if you're with your family and one of your family members doesn't go, I think I kind of wonder. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think because it's I mean, it is a public time, but it is also in a way that moment when everybody goes up to receive is kind of also a private personal time, you know, because it's very, you know, you're going to encounter God as an individual. And so, you know, I respect that. And I, you know, I could go into, Jeff, this whole, you know, appearances thing. And I could talk about the struggle that I had with wearing a veil because I wear a chapel veil. Mm-hmm. In Mass. And I once had a boyfriend who told me not to do it anymore because everyone was staring at me. And so I broke up with him.
I was going to say, but, you're not with him anymore.
But honestly, like that really bothered me for a long, long, long time. Because I thought,
his comment or your self-consciousness?
Both. Because I think, you know, that seed was already there and then he just said it and he kind of like, I guess solidified that fear, you know, of sticking out, you know, like you were saying, Jeff. So I didn't want people to, you know, be staring at me and distracted by what was on my head, you know, because honestly, not a lot of young women wear cover their heads at Mass, but actually what helped me was to just do a lot more reflection on why I choose to wear it and my personal reasons and you know, maybe that'll help you out with the whole communion thing. So I don't know. I think it does come down to intent.
Yeah. When I was a child, it was uncommon to see a woman without a veil. Mm-hmm. In fact, I went to a parochial school, and if a girl showed up for Mass without a veil, the nuns would use a bobby pin and pin Kleenex to the top of their head.
Right.
Which made it like, I'm not forgetting my veil next time.
Well, at least it wasn't toilet paper.
Yeah, no. But I understand, but, you know, I guess those are moments of evangelization for you then, if people come and talk to you about why you do what you do, mm-hmm. you know, and the reasons for it, which I think there are very valid reasons for doing it. But,
well, just like in public, sure. You know, some people would say, well, you know, when you're out there, you shouldn't be like making a big deal about making the sign of the cross and praying before you eat. But on the other hand, that I think that's a great witness to our faith. So again, I think this whole thing kind of boils down to, you know, what is appropriate. You know, we don't want to hide our faith, our candle or our lamp under under a bushel. You know, we want everybody to see that we're practicing our faith. But I guess the bottom line is, you know, where is it going too far? And
well, one of the things that I think that before we really end this discussion, I want to bring up the other point that Elizabeth was making in her post, and that is that there seems to be this attitude of, woe is me, this penance that I'm doing. And she's pretty much like, what's the sacrifice really that you're not eating meat when you can have so many other delicious things unless you really think about what the sacrifice is that you are making? And she goes on even to say that perhaps we're getting dramatic about these things because during ordinary time we're not thinking in terms of or in the other parts of the year, we're not thinking in terms of doing penances, and perhaps a need to return to abstinence on Fridays as a reminder that this is something we should be doing all the time, not just for Lent. I mean, she's got some really thought-provoking points in the article that are beyond just making fun of the hashtag thing or questioning the hashtag, but really just looking into, you know, why the drama, folks? Just do it and be quiet about it.
Yeah, I see that point as well.
So, I don't know.
That's just like, you know, it's Friday night, so we can't eat meat. Let's go to Red Lobster. Well,
right.
How is that a sacrifice? You know.
Well, for me and Steve, it would be a gigantic.
Well, yeah, then you couldn't.
Deadly. Deadly sacrifice.
Well, I had a sacrifice last night, actually. Greg Willits came into town last night because he probably just got done speaking at the Catholic Men's Conference that's going on right now. But my husband and I took him. And I guess he was expecting to go to like a seafood place. And so we wanted to take him out since he was in town and we never see him. And so we took him to a vegan restaurant and because it was Lent and we wanted to make sure we had something to eat, you know, that was not just like the one thing on the menu that wasn't meatless or whatever. So, I don't know. For me, I don't think I could ever be a vegan because I'm from Texas. But also, I don't know how you like gain body mass, like body fat by being a vegan. but anyways, that was kind of a sacrifice because it was like
for you and me.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know. It was just stuff that I wouldn't normally eat. So anyway,
I eat vegan chickens.
You gotta be creative these days to, you know, be meatless and have it be a sacrifice.
I eat vegan cows. Oh, that's a great practical joke.
It was pretty funny.
Well, I certainly understand that, yeah. I mean, yesterday I had the, you know, I go out to eat with some of my coworkers, you know, and on Ash Wednesday, I kind of made the point. I said, I'd really like to go to a restaurant that has some meatless meals. So that, you know, but yesterday on Friday, I just went wherever they decided to go. And I just found something on the menu that was meatless, you know, and didn't say anything about it, you know, and they were kind of looking at me and it was like, you ate a garden burger?
I saw your post. Garden boogers are good.
I don't know why they call them garden burgers, because anyway.
There's no burger there.
But, you know, but they were all looking at me, you know, and they didn't ask me any questions, but they were just like, you ate that?
What's wrong with Steve?
It was a bit of a penance because they're not very good.
At a steakhouse, I like garden burgers if that's what I want to eat, not as a substitute for a burger. Oh, there's Otis.
Hi, Otis.
Otis here is just talking about meat, I think.
Yeah, he doesn't like us talking about animals.
I think UPS is here.
Well, anything else we want to say about the whole thing about hashtags and our faith?
Go to confession.
Well, that's always something we can say. Absolutely.
Yeah. And this is a great time of the year to do it because most parishes will have penance services. You know, and they'll bring in an army of priests. So if you don't want to go to your pastor and rather go anonymously to some other priest, look for your parish's Lenten penance service. Great time to do it.
That's right. So if you haven't been in a while, remember you have to do it once a year. That's one of the precepts of our church. And you know what?
And if you haven't been in like 20 years, go. They're going to be gentle with you. I promise.
Yeah. And you're going to feel so much better. You know, I went to confession once, and it had been 40 years. Because that was my first confession.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know if we can find one, but online you can find these little guides that tell you how to prepare for confession and what to do when you get in there.
Mm-hmm.
No priest is going to care if you take in a little cheat sheet that says – do this, do this, do this. They will be happy that you do that.
There's an app for that too, by the way.
There is an app, the Confession app.
A couple of different ones, Mea Culpa and Confession. I use the Confession app. That was one of my picks of the week some time ago. And I continue to use it all the time. So it's a great way of examining your conscience.
When I was a campus minister, we printed that in our bulletin 1 week and made a big deal of saying, we're going to post this on the wall in the confessional so that if you forget it, you'll still have your little guide in there. And we doubled the student confession rate because of that.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, we just printed it on cardstock. We took one, 11x8 sheet and did it on a half a sheet and cut them in half and posted them right outside the door of our confessionals.
Yeah,
that's the way it is at St. Peter Chanel as well. And they also, right there in front of you, if you happen to use the screen, it's like right there, taped to the act of contrition. Yep. So you don't have to remember it.
So do you like to go face-to-face or do you go behind the screen?
I go face-to-face.
You go face-to-face?
Mm-hmm.
If it's to a priest that I know, I'll do face-to-face. But it's weird. If it's not one that I know, then I don't know. I feel it's like I got this stranger looking at me.
Looking at
me. And I'll use the screen, maybe.
I do the screen, and I also change my voice. I go, hello.
Hello.
You want to know what one of the best confessions I ever gave was?
What?
It was in Rome at St. Peter's Basilica. And when you go in there, off to the side, they have all these confession booths, right? And they have a little sign on there that says what languages the priest speaks. So I went one, and it said Italian and English. So I went to that priest. Well, he speaks a lot of Italian and a little bit of English.
He speaks Italian, and you speak English.
And so he would just sit there, and he'd kind of nod, And he'd, repeat a word, every now and then. It's like, oh, this is great. I can totally unbear my
And I killed a man back in 1965.
Yes.
It's okay.
The joke's on you when the next day he was the one that was doing the address in English, right? That happened to me in actually my own parish. We had an elderly Spanish priest who was hearing confessions one day, and the long lines for the English speaking priest was, well, for our pastor and the associate, the lines were so long. And so I said, well, I can do this in Spanish. I think I can do this in Spanish. And I went in, and that was going fine right up until the act of contrition. And then I went, oh.
Mea culpa, mea culpa.
He laughed. He goes, go ahead. Doing English.
That's funny.
Well, I've already stumbled on the abstinence thing. I was flying from New York to Florida, Sarasota, yesterday, and they called up and they said, "Hey, we have some first class meals left over. You guys want them?" And they, "What are they?" "Pastrami sandwiches." "Oh, sure, we'll take two." So we did the whole thing, opening the door and everything. We had our trays and everything else. Yeah, it's Friday, yesterday.
First Friday in your blue.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. So I take a, for some reason, I don't know why, but I took a bite and I was thinking about the pastrami that we have upstairs in our refrigerator that we bought just a day or two ago, and the fact that we couldn't eat it on Wednesday or Friday. And that must have hit me, the pastrami can't eat Wednesday, Friday. And I kind of spit out my bite, and my co-pilot's looking over at me like, what, is there something wrong? I said, yeah, I just realized I can't eat this. And I said, you want the pastrami off my sandwich? And he said, no, thank you. And so I just took that big, giant wad of pastrami and threw it away, and I had
Can you see the Lent sanity? Can you see the Lent sanity?
No,
it's
hold
a big old bright light.
We see your big flashlight, Maria.
It's got Lent sanity is a Lent app that you can get, and it has meat police notification.
Oh, you're notifying. You're turning
and it
me in.
Sends you. Yeah, it sends you. It's got push notifications that tell you right before lunch and dinner to it's called the meat police.
Oh, that's good.
Don't eat meat.
Well, I could have used that, but of course it wouldn't have worked for me. Well, I guess it would have. No, I can't because I'm not supposed to have an electronic device on in the cockpit, so it wouldn't have worked for me.
Oh, of course, of course.
Well, yeah. Now, Jeff.
Yes.
Jeff, you run into a conundrum.
Yes.
Should you waste that food?
I know. Right. I felt bad about that. What was I supposed
to do
with it?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think, honestly, if you realize, like, in the middle of your sandwich that you're eating meat, that you should not throw it away, because that kind of like goes against the whole idea. I mean, that's my personal opinion.
So now you're making me feel even worse.
I
felt bad about, you know, taking a bite of it, and
no, that's not what I'm saying.
It's an honest mistake. I mean, it's going to happen to all of us.
Yeah, I'm just saying for the future, consider, you know, what's worse, like, you know, throwing away food, or, you know, fasting. You know, fasting is supposed to be all too like a solidarity with the poor. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of families who fast from meat, they take the money that they would have spent on the meat and they give it to the poor. So it's like, you know, okay, well, if I'm halfway through this meat, shouldn't I just finish it?
I'm starting to feel like this episode is like the three holy ones and Jeff.
Not true. But you know, the whole scruples thing is coming into play there, because if you're not going to have that pastrami sandwich because it's meat, but you're going to have, you know, lobster salad, or what's that thing that they have in New England with the lobster roll? If you're having a lobster roll, so yes, you're obeying the letter of the law, but somehow I think that's not much of a sacrifice.
No.
Yeah.
It's got to be sacrifice as well. Now, I will say, though, that had I not opted to, you know, if I'd said, no, I don't want the sandwich, that sandwich would have ended up in the trash anyway, because that's
true.
Because I can't use that sandwich for another flight or anything else, so I don't feel too bad about throwing it away. It would have been thrown in the trash anyway, but I understand what you're saying, Angela.
Yeah. I mean, I ran into this one time in Guatemala with a student on a student trip. We arrived on a Friday night, and the people at the mission had made a big dinner for us on our arrival, and it was all meat. So I'm there with 20 students, and they're all looking at me like, what do we do? Mm-hmm. And I said, you eat that food. Because it's they gave out of their limited resources to prepare this nice dinner for us, and we're not going to insult them or waste all that food by not eating it.
Mm-hmm. But, you true. Know.
And, true. You know, not all cultures do the meatless Fridays during Lent. It's not necessarily pervasive around the world.
Or the interpretation, because I think that chicken is allowed in some cultures because it's not red meat. Well, just go back, you know, going back to what's the sacrifice there, you know, because eating a red lobster is not, you know,
I think that, you know, just doing something simple like, you know, rice and beans or something like that. And honestly, I love rice and beans. I guess that's...
Yeah, that's another thing.
So what do you do? You
that's
like
what
to,
I had.
Yeah, so what do you do? Like not eat? I mean, that's a sacrifice.
No. But Angela really hit on it, that you can use the money that you would have spent on that meat and put and you're supposed, you know, everybody is talking about all
almsgiving.
You have to do almsgiving.
Three
too.
Things, right?
You know, it's three things:
fasting, almsgiving, and prayer.
That's right. So do that. You know, Wednesday I was literally traveling from California all day because I had to take all kinds of crazy connections to get across the country. And I remember getting home, and it was about 10:30 at night, and the only thing I had eaten was a bag of peanuts on one of the flights. And my husband was like, you fasted? And I said, yeah, but I get no points, because it wasn't because I had the sacrifice to do it. It was just because I was running to get to connections and didn't have time to stand in line to get a fish sandwich.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I have days like that all the time, and whether it's Lent or not, you know?
Yeah, right. You just work, right through lunch, and before you know it, you haven't eaten all day. And so, Back to Elizabeth's point, you know.
Yeah, I know. I hope our listeners are not saying, "What a bunch of whiners."
No, well, you know, it shouldn't be whining. I think it's you know, I
it's
think
just honest case, conversation.
It's just honest conversation.
Yeah.
How funny. Well.
Well, we had a birthday this week, Miss Maria.
I know.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Fabulous.
I'm fabulous.
And
fabulous
are you 50. Enjoying?
Again.
50 again. Ah, to be 50 again.
Again.
AARP card will be showing up magically in here.
I shopped it.
You know, I've got to see if I can find it. I've got to see where. Here it is. So it's my aunt, who is 89 years old. 79 years old. I don't know. She's like 800 years old. she calls me and she says, "I remember when you were turning one that everybody was training you so that when they asked you how old you were to put up one little finger." And wrong finger. So this is how old I am.
Oh. Nice.
So I took that picture for her yesterday. Yeah, it stinks, right, Steve, to have our birthdays in Lent.
Yours was not in Lent. No, but I have my second birthday coming up next week.
Yeah, I think that we share the same baptism day.
March 12th is my baptismal birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, so I'm going to celebrate this year because Pope Francis said we should.
That's right.
Yeah, it should actually be, you know, when you think about it, that should be even more important than your birthday, I think. It's kind of like your spiritual rebirth day.
Right, absolutely. So,
until you die, and then that's your real birthday.
True.
Woohoo!
Wow, that's deep.
That's deep.
Yeah, that's deep.
Yeah. So if you want to send the birthday presents, I'll give you the address later.
And what do you prefer? Something about cobblers, I think.
Blueberry, right?
Blueberry
or blackberry. Yeah, we're coming up on berry season in another 5 months.
Well, I've got blueberries and blackberries and red raspberries and golden raspberries in my yard.
Nice.
And strawberries. Nice. And strawberries. Except our dog eats the strawberries and he brings them to the door, not eaten. Looks at us when we open the door and then eats it in front of us. That dog.
I can't imagine a dog liking strawberries.
I think he just likes to annoy us.
So, hey, last week we talked about what we were thinking about possibly giving up or doing extra for Lent. Do we want to touch upon that? I can tell you at that time I wasn't sure what I was going to tackle, but I decided – even though there's a very, very high potential for failure, but I decided to do it. And I'm confident this year I'm going to make it the entire Lenten season. I'm giving up alcohol completely. So I need your prayers for that.
I'll drink really?
Beer.
Yes.
No beer.
Well, we're
no
buddies.
Beer, no wine, no gin, no anything.
Yeah.
Is tequila alcohol?
You're giving up alcohol? Yes.
Yeah, tequila. I'm giving up alcohol.
Well, for some people, it's pretty easy, but for people like me.
Yeah, it's pretty easy for me. I mean, I go weeks without drinking anything.
You know, it's become such...
Yeah, me too.
Me too.
I usually treat myself to, like, a glass of wine,
It's really kind of interesting for me because I didn't realize how much of this part of my ritual that, I mean, I think about, like, where I'm going to be laying over, and I wonder if the bar is going to be open, and, you know, people will go, "I think you have a problem," but perhaps I do, but... So it's kind of weird because, you know, I go into we were getting into LaGuardia late. I was going to get to the hotel and I'm thinking, I wonder if the bar's going to, it doesn't matter.
Oh,
I don't have to worry about that now. I'm just going to drink some water and go to bed. And I think in the long run, it's going to turn out, you know, making me healthier and helping me both spiritually and physically. So
you might sleep better. I mean,
you might lose that weight that you were hoping to lose.
Well, are you saying I'm fat?
You said that you were going on it, that you were struggling with. Golly.
I'm just kidding. Oh, yeah, you should. Okay. Well, this would be a good time to go like this. U.S. Air Force. Airman of note. Fly me to the moon. Okay, you're listening to one of the many StarQuest Production Network productions. And this is Catholic Weekend, of course, and we have several shows that Father Roderick produces, as well as many affiliate shows. You should check all of the great shows out by heading over to sqpn.com and seeing our list of affiliate shows. If you'd like to help support SQPN's effort in the new evangelization, head over to sqpn.com/donate, and you can become a friend of SQPN. It's very easy and relatively painless. And hey, maybe that'll be one of those things during Lent that you kind of sacrifice that latte or two during the month and give that money instead to sqpn.com. We do appreciate it. Thank you to all of you who have been longtime contributors. And if you want to purchase some stuff for, let's say, Easter, like an Easter gift, head over to Amazon.com. But before you do, click on the banner on sqpn.com, and a portion of the purchase will be sent to SQPN. And finally, if you want to start your own blog or podcast or whatever, as Steve does and Father Roderick, they both use Bluehost. Bluehost is one of our partners. You can click on the banner there on sqpn.com. And if you sign up with Bluehost, which has very affordable hosting plans, one-click setup of WordPress, etc., and lots of other things there, we get a nice little thank you from Bluehost. So many, many different ways that you can support sqpn.com. Thank you. Don't you just love?
I could listen to those guys all day.
Awesome. Okay. Let's see. How are we doing here on the timing of the show?
I don't know.
45 minutes.
45 minutes. So you know what that means? That means it's time to hear from Miss Pat Gone. Oh wait, we were gonna crank call her today. I forgot.
No. We can't crank call her.
We still can.
No. She's
busy. Okay, picks of the week. Who would like to start?
I'll go first.
Okay, Steve.
Many of you have signed up for Father Robert Barron's Lenten Reflections, the daily reflections. And I've really, really been enjoying them, the few that we've had so far. And today's was especially good. It tells a story of Mother Teresa. So I highly recommend it. So my pick of the week is go to Word on Fire, look for Father Robert Barron's Daily Lenten Reflections, and sign up for that. I highly recommend it.
Is that a video, audio, text? What is that?
It's text. Okay. It comes in as an email.
Okay, I'll do that. I have not signed up.
But I'm sure he writes them himself, because if you've listened to Father Barron's videos, you know his voice and his style of speaking, you see that in what he's writing. You know, it comes across as if it's him actually writing it, which I'm sure he did. Mm-hmm. So just think of him and just think of him speaking that in your head.
Okay. I'll do that. And that'll be in the show notes, right?
There's a link there already.
Wonderful. That's an excellent pick. Angela.
My pick is I don't know if you guys have heard this song by Pharrell Williams called Happy. It's basically just a really, really fun song about being happy. And so the campus of Boston College decided to make a little music video to that song. So it's just really, really fun to watch. And this morning I had to drop off my husband at work and get up really early in the morning, and I'm such a grump in the morning, and so I felt terrible, but then I watched this video, and it's got priests dancing to the music, and everybody's really happy, and yeah, so I think it'll make you happy, so go watch it.
Okay.
It's in the show notes.
It is, and it's a little taste of it is coming very shortly here on Catholic Weekend.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Just because it's Lent doesn't mean you have to be sad. You can be happy.
Here we go. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. Okay, I'm not going to play too much of it because the Google algorithm machine will say, flag, copyrighted material, you're not allowed to use it, blah, blah, blah. So there you go. A little taste. I can't wait to watch the rest of that video. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a happy song.
All right. Yeah, it is. Literally a happy song.
A happy song.
Okay, Maria.
Well, my pick of the week is Lent Sanity, which I was telling you about earlier. And it's put out by the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And if you go to their website, which is, I think it's focus.org. Let me see if I can find that. It is. It's focus.org. And they've got a great bunch of stuff on this app. It's got the Daily Dose, which is a message, and then it's got the Meat Police, which is totally hilarious because it will warn you of your mealtime coming up. So it's got six little components. It's got prayer, Lent hacks, I guess, things that you can go in and do. It covers virtue and sacrifice, and you can learn the faith and got your faith in action. So it's got all kinds of really cool things in there, but the Meat Police is the one that cracks me up the most. And anyway, I encourage you to go get it.
It's got it all. I'm surprised that making my the transition to my pick of the week that is not in the Our Sunday Visitor top 10 Catholic apps for Lent. They did not mention Lent Sanity, but they do list several others, including the one we talked about earlier, Confession. And the one that I'm going to pick as my pick, I never heard of this, and I just downloaded it this morning before today's show, and I love it. It's called Laudate.
And oh, yeah.
It says, this is a given. It's number one on their list of 10 apps for your Lenten journey. Known as the number one Catholic app, it offers a wide variety of resources from the daily readings to Vatican documents. Great sort resources for Lent include the Stations of the Cross, the Rosary, the Liturgy of the Hours, although it has a different translation, it says, and a daily examination of conscience. And that's available for your iOS device or your Android device. So I have links to that in the show notes if you want to check out Laudate. And of course, I guess I'll put the link also to the article from OSV, the Our Sunday Visitor, top 10 Catholic apps for Lent. And that's my pick.
I use that app every single day.
Yeah, I do too.
Because I use, that's good. That's a good subject to talk about. I mean, I have a special folder on my phone that is Catholic. And the Catholic apps that I have in my folder are Divine Office, Prayers, and those are both by Dane.
Faulkner,
thank you, and his company. And I have a little Saint Cast thing there. Of course, Paul, you need to put out another podcast. Anyway, he has an app, the Saint Cast, the Catholic Directory, Mass Times, because, you know, I travel a lot and it's nice to know where the local Catholic church is and the times for Mass and reconciliation and all that kind of stuff. I have Olive Tree Bible Plus Maps, which is a free app, and Confession, we talked about that before, Magnificat, iBreviary, Wake Up, which is an app that will actually wake you up to somebody doing the Nicene Creed, either to music or not, female or male voice. And so that's what I have. And then Laudate now I have on my in my folder. Mm-hmm. But what are some apps that you guys use daily or very often that are Catholic related?
I've got the Divine Mercy app.
Oh, that's
and which I love because and they also it's the let me get the name, the Marians of Immaculate Conception. Rosary app. And it's really neat because in fact sometimes I find myself you know before Mass praying the Rosary, for example. And it's got the rosary on there. But the thing is that when you scroll through the beads, it either beeps or buzzes.
Oh, that's not good. You can turn off the sound. Oh, by the way, when you're – and I've been riding in a lot in the back of airplanes quite a bit in the last few weeks. There's usually something on your phone that you can turn your ringer off and all your notifications.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely.
Gosh, when you land – the whole darn airplane's like, bing, bang, bang, bang. Yeah, all these things are going off. I'm thinking, come on.
You know what makes me crazy? I can't stand the people who are in a very quiet place and they have the noise, the clicking from typing.
Oh, that's the worst.
And they have that noise on. And I'm like, can you silence that?
I just want to go up and like wring their neck.
Like, off.
Do you really need the sound for typing?
So back to apps.
Okay. You're just having fun ranting, Steve.
I know.
That's take that away from us. Okay.
We should have a whole episode on pet peeves.
All right. Let's see.
I know. This isn't the time. No, I like High Breathing.
Yeah. I like song. It too. I use that one, but yeah. Well, that does have the. It has the option to look at all the readings in a row because I hated the clicking back and forth to see what the next reading was. And it does let you see them all at the same time. And I think the saints of the day is on it at the end.
All kinds of stuff. And another good one is iPieta, which I don't have on my phone because it's like a huge database. It's like, it takes up like gigabytes of room on your device. I do have it on my tablet, but not on my phone.
Have any of you... bought that new one, what is it, Mass Explained or something, the really huge one that's got everything in it?
That's on the list of the Our Sunday Visitor top 10. Well, speaking of top 10, you may know this gentleman. His name is Patrick Padley, Pat Padley, and his lovely new wife, Nicole. They have a website, acoupleofcatholics.com, and they have a post here, the first 3 months of newlywed life in GIFs, or GIFs if you prefer. And that, I'll put that in the show notes as well, or Mike, maybe you can help us out with that. That's acoupleofcatholics.com, and you'll see the link, or I'll send it to you, put it in the Google Doc. So check out that, and they have – it's official now, isn't it, Maria?
Mm-hmm. They're going to have to change the name of their website from a couple of Catholics to a few Catholics.
A few Catholics, because we know that a couple usually means two, and a few means three or more, right? So,
right.
Yes, three is on the way. Another Padley is going to be joining us here on Earth sometime in the near future. So congratulations to
– he or she already has.
That's true. Very good point. But we'll actually exit the womb.
Stop.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get that. Anyway, what I was trying to do is look for this. Okay. Now I need to turn up the volume. There we go.
Yay.
So, yay. Congratulations, Pat and Nicole, for your new life that is with us now. We just can't see it.
Correct. All right.
Thank you.
A plus, Jeff.
Well, you know, maybe B minus. But
you passed the pro-life test.
Thank you. So maybe we should just go ahead and start over. You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode...
It started with a crash.
Okay.
Started with a crash and it ends with a boom. It ends with a wah-wah.
Yeah, it probably is appropriate just to end the show by saying... Sorry. Or the dryer's ready. Okay.
Ding.
Your yes. lint. Your lint in
all
the
right.
dryer.
Oh gosh.
Angela Cialana. You can find more about Angela C. Alana, her writings and her thoughts and reflections by going to inspiredangela.wordpress.com. Correct?
For sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Faux show.
Maria, another cup of coffee, begojohnson.com.
Another cup of coffee. I finally got around to posting a picture. What is it called?
The photo challenge of the week.
The photo challenge. And yes. There's a little poem that I wrote about flying because I was in the air all day.
Okay.
So that's in there too.
I'll have to go read it then.
You should.
Yes. I've been flying the last 6 days in the row.
Follow me on Twitter. I'm a lot more entertaining there than I am on Facebook.
Yeah, that's what you think. Steve Nelson, everything este bon.
Si.
And Steve.
And go see his photo challenge.
Steve_Nelson on Twitter. And what else?
That's it.
Steve says he's just a passenger.
He has fabulous puns. You have to follow Steve.
Yeah, Twitter. Yeah, I have moments every now and then.
Wonderful. And you can find me at airlinepilotguy.com. And I was supposed to have a show out this week, but I was busy flying, trying to make money. And I actually recorded the very first hour of the show in the terminal in Sarasota.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so that was interesting. It wasn't very busy when I started, but then after a while, I noticed there were more and more people around, and they're all kind of looking over at this guy with a microphone and an iPad video thing going on and everything else. But anyway, I kind of got lost in my show and kind of disregarded everybody around me. So,
Dude, I have to ask you a question as a pilot. Mm-hmm. So this kid, as we were trying to, what do you call it when you disembark? I guess disembarking. We were trying to get off the plane.
Yeah. Get out.
Get out.
Deplane.
Some kid threw up on the plane 3 times on the way out. So everybody was slipping and sliding trying to get off the plane.
Did you really have to mention that, Maria?
Great way to end the show, Maria.
Yeah.
Oh, are we still on the show?
Yeah, we still haven't stopped the show yet. Oh, gosh.
Okay, well, you can answer after.
Okay. Well, and no, I normally don't throw up on the plane.
I guess now
I just
you
have that slipping and sliding image.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for making it just a visceral experience for us all. Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed this show. Next week, we're planning... We're going to actually be in our better behavior, I think, next week, because we're going to have a special guest, Father Dwight Longenecker, who just wrote a book called The Romance of Religion. He's going to be joining us next week.
Fantastic.
Yes, so look forward to that.
Can mute me for that episode.
Father Dwight is a convert to Catholicism. He was an Episcopal priest, I believe, and is now a Catholic priest, and he has a wonderful... From what I remember, I think he has a nice English accent as well. I think that he spent some time in England. So, anyway, we'll find out. If you want to find out whether or not he has an English accent or not and learn more about his the Romance of Religion, I think that's the right title of his book. But if it's not, he'll correct me with that as well. Next week on Catholic Weekend. So I hope everybody has a great weekend, a great week. We'll see you here next Saturday morning. Take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.
That was terrible!
Horrendous!
I'm offended!
I'm appalled!
So what are we going to do?
What else? Email it to everybody we know!
Good idea.